in the book of Hebrews, the sanctuary and its services is connected with the covenant and its promises. Notice in Hebrews the 9th chapter, verses 1 to 3, and this is a very important and vital factor in any study of the sanctuary message that we need to know, although we have not been connecting it together. Hebrews 9, 1 to 3. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Here, Paul in Hebrews is plainly saying that the sanctuary of the first covenant was the sanctuary of Sinai. The sanctuary of the first covenant was the sanctuary that God had Moses build at Mount Sinai. Now we're told, further in Hebrews, that there is another covenant and another sanctuary. Notice the 8th chapter and verses 1 and 2. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum, or this is the head point. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heaven, in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. But this individual who is the minister of that true tabernacle, the heavenly, is also declared in this same chapter to be something else. Notice the 6th verse. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Thus you have the first covenant and the first sanctuary. You have the heavenly sanctuary, and you have the better covenant. Christ is not only a minister as a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, he is also the mediator of that better covenant built upon better promises. We find that the first is the example and shadow of the other. Now, to understand the heavenly things, one must first determine the type covenant. What covenant is the type of the new covenant? We already know what sanctuary is the type of the other sanctuary, but what covenant is the type of the new covenant or the better covenant built upon better promises? So let us go back in the Old Testament and have a brief study on the covenants. Turn first to the 19th chapter and verses 3 to 9. Exodus 19, verses 3 to 9. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, speak to the corporate body, the house of Jacob, and the children of Israel. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, the representative of the corporate body, the leadership of the corporate body, the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now notice. And all the people answered together and said, All the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. The elders took the message to the people. The people returned the words, and they then back to Moses, and Moses took them to the Lord. It was a rearrangement and a dealing with a corporate Israel through their lay leadership, or through the elders of Israel. Now notice the ninth verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now here is a covenant that speaks nothing of blood. It's merely an arrangement as to what God will do and how they will respond to what God will do. And God said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to speak that they will hear you forever. And so here was the covenant that was going to be arranged through a mediator, through Moses to the elders to the corporate body. Now the second covenant that we find brought to view in the book of Exodus is found in the 24th chapter and is called the Book of the Covenant. Turn to Exodus 24, verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now what are these judgments and these words that Moses is now conveying to the people? The judgments. Go back a few chapters and notice immediately after the giving of the law in the 20th chapter of Exodus, notice the 22nd verse. The people have pled that God not speak to them again because they were afraid of His voice and what they saw from Sinai. 22nd verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. And then he told them about an altar and the construction of the altar. Now the 21st chapter. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. And you follow through the 21st chapter, the 22nd chapter, the 23rd chapter, and then you come to the 24th chapter where Moses conveys these judgments to the children of Israel. And now notice further what he does about these judgments. The fourth verse of the 24th chapter of Exodus. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Here is the first blood covenant concerning the judgments which he had given to Israel through Moses, which he told Moses to tell the people. And this blood covenant was ratified with the blood of an animal. The blood was sprinkled on the book. The blood was sprinkled on the people. It became a covenant that was to be recognized and to went into effect. But I want you to notice something about this covenant. This covenant, which was ratified by blood, contained no mercy. No mercy was in this covenant. Notice the 23rd chapter, the 20th verse and the 21st verse. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. God said to them, All right, here are my judgments. Here are the things you're to do. But if you violate, there's no forgiveness. He will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And another interesting thing about this particular covenant, there was no provision for a sanctuary. There was no provision for a priesthood. All that was involved as far as this was concerned is that the young man from each of the tribes brought their animal and the sacrifice and took part in a sacrificial service. No sanctuary service, no priesthood. A covenant without mercy. After this covenant was ratified, I want you to notice what Moses did. The 24th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Immediately upon the ratification of this covenant, Moses went into the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. And in that mount, what did he receive? Turn to the next chapter. Notice verses 8 and 9. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And the 40th verse says, and look that thou make them after their pattern which was shown thee in the mount. Now during this 40 days that Moses was in the mount receiving the instruction for the establishment of the sanctuary and its services, what did Israel do at the foot of the mount? Turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, because after all, these chapters in between are telling about the instruction that Moses received in involving with the sanctuary. Now, as we come to the 32nd chapter, you know the story. Moses was long delayed, and they said, we know not what's happened to this man. And they said to Aaron, now you come and make us gods and lead us. All right, within 40 days, they broke the solemn covenant which God had specified. The very first thing He told them, you're not to worship Me with gods of gold and gods of silver. They broke that covenant within 40 days, and the covenant had no mercy. He will not pardon your transgressions. What then was the relationship of Israel with its God? Doomed. Completely set aside. Now, you know, God told Moses to get on down, that there was trouble down there in that camp. And Moses came on down, and you know the story about the breaking up of the golden calf, and he's calling the tribe of Levi, and what resulted. Now, I want you to notice what Moses tells the children of Israel. This is now in the same, this is in the 32nd chapter, and let us notice the beginning with the 30th verse. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up in unto the Lord, or I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. They had no right to mercy. They had sworn to a covenant there was no forgiveness in, no pardoning. They had nothing of which to appeal. They had no means of appeal. Moses said, I'll go back to the Lord, and peradventure, I shall make an atonement for you concerning your sins. And the Lord returned, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, all this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses said, I will intercede. And God, if you can't forgive them, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Now notice God's reaction. The Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. God said, all right, go back down there and you take the people on and I'll send an angel with you. I'll send my angel with you. Well, Moses decided it was time to do something, because we find further in the 33rd chapter, beginning with the first verse, the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, Hivite, and Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God said, I am not going to get involved with Israel. I will not go up with you. Moses, you go on and get them up there and take them into the land, and I'll keep my promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll send an angel along before you. Moses said, this will never do. This will not do. And so First thing he did in the seventh chapter, and this should not be confused with the tabernacle that he'd been instructed to make because it hadn't been made yet. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Apparently there was a tent that they used for worship and for sacrifice by the various leaders of the tribes or men chosen out of the tribes. He takes this tabernacle. Now don't confuse it with the tabernacle that was given to Moses up there in the mount because it hadn't been made. He sets it outside of the camp and he goes out there. And now notice, the ninth verse, and it came to pass, as Moses entered in the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Now, where is this talking being done? Right there, out of the camp, at a tabernacle that had been used for daily worship, apart from the sanctuary. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and the people arose and worshipped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And then Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest to me, Bring up this people, but thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My grace, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with us or with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are in the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing which thou hast spoken, For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, I want you to notice the language here and what it's saying and what it means. God has said, I'm not going to go with them. Moses said, I'm going to go up and talk to God, and I'm going to commune with God, and perhaps I will make an atonement. God said to him, Take them in. I'll send an angel with you. Moses said, Now, God, you haven't been specific with me. You told me an angel, you said that way, but you haven't told me who. Well, then God says, All right, I'll send my presence will go with you. Moses said, That's not enough. If I have found grace with thee, if I have made the atonement, you go with us now. You go with me. God said to Moses, I'll go. And then Moses says, Show me thy glory. And so he took and put Moses in the cleft of a rock. And he passed by before him and declared the name of the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance in mercy. And then God told him something else. He told him that he was to do something, that he was to return into the mount. Notice Exodus 34, 1-3. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words which were in the first tables which thou breakest. Be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning into the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there unto me in the mount. All right, and it's there he saw the glory of God. But he was to go in the mount. How many were to go with him? Alone. Now, this is in contrast with the first time that he went up 40 days previous. Go back to Exodus, the 24th chapter, and notice how he went up the first time. Exodus 24, beginning with the 9th verse. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel. And it says there that they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. God set a spread in the mount for the people, the leadership of Israel. And then Moses went into 40 days communion while they came on down. But this time Moses goes alone into the mount as defined there in the 24th chapter of Exodus. In the 34th chapter of Exodus. Now notice what God does with Moses there in the mount the second time. 10th verse. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. And then he tells him what's in that covenant. And you'll find that some of the same things that you can read over in Exodus 21, 22, and 23 are in this covenant. But notice the 27th verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with Israel, with thee, and with Israel. Here now is a new covenant. Not the new covenant, but a different covenant in which God says to Moses, I make a covenant with thee and with Israel. Moses stands then as the mediator of this type covenant in which Israel is to receive a blessing through Moses. That type covenant is the covenant that continued from that day until the better covenant built upon better promises. Because as we read in the book of Hebrews, Moses was the head of his house, even as Christ became the head of his house. Moses was the head of the house of Israel. And God made a covenant with him as the head of that house in behalf of all Israel. Now I want you to notice very carefully what Moses did after the covenant was made with him. Notice the 35th chapter of Exodus, beginning with the first verse, the very first thing that he tells them. And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. One of the first elements of this type covenant was the fact that the Sabbath is the symbol of a covenant people. The Sabbath is the sign and the symbol of a covenant people in which God deals with in relationship to it. Now notice again now the 35th chapter, the 4th verse. Immediately after setting forth the Sabbath, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, take from you among you an offering to the Lord, whoever gives it with a willing heart. For what purpose? 21st verse, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit made him willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for all the holy garments. It was after the covenant that God made with Moses and with Israel that the offering came in to build the tabernacle, the sanctuary, which was to be a type of the sanctuary in heaven. An interesting picture. And then when you go over to the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus, you find a very interesting thing in the setting up of this tabernacle. On the first day, second verse, on the first day of the first month, shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with a veil. And it tells about the setting up of this whole sanctuary. 9th verse, and thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. The sanctuary that was set up under this covenant was anointed with what? Blood? Oil? And who did the anointing? Moses. Oil, a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. What is the new covenant to be anointed with besides the blood of Calvary? When he was installed as high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, what came forth? The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There is a parallel between the setting up of these particular things. In fact, the ratification of this type covenant was by and through the blood of the sanctuary service as they carried out the services of that particular commands that God gave for the offerings and the sacrifice. Now let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and notice the first few verses. Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Ah, who was the house that Moses was over? The house of Israel. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You have the two houses. You have the two covenants. You have the two sanctuaries. And you have those, each one, who are over each house. The mediator of the better covenant is whom? Christ. Who was the mediator then for Israel under the type covenant? Moses. And I want you to think. In what way did Christ become the mediator of the better covenant built upon better promises? Through what means? Through the resurrection. Through the resurrection, He became the high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now let me ask you one question. Who only of all the ancients was resurrected and taken to heaven? Moses, the mediator of that type covenant to stand for Israel at the throne of God during all those history of that intercessory period. Until Christ was resurrected to take over His house with a better covenant and the better promises. Now, what does this mean to us? What's the message for us? Christ created us, right? Created Adam. He placed us under a covenant. For we read in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 16 and 17, what about it? That tree in the garden? Don't touch it, lest you what? Now, was there any mercy promised? Can you read any mercy in those two verses? No, either had they what? Do and live, disobey and die. But Adam transgressed. And Adam transgressed, and who entered in? Who made intercession as a mediator? Perhaps I might make an atonement for you. Who stepped into the gap? Christ, even as Moses did. Moses, Michael, like Moses, stepped in, and God made a covenant with him and with us. And this is exactly what it means in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete where? In Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Where do we find our relationship with God? In Him. How did Israel find a relationship with God? In Moses. Oh, friend, if we fail to understand this covenant relationship, we cannot understand the sanctuary service. And this is where our problems have been in our study of the sanctuary. We have not understood this relationship. And this arrangement of the type covenant is illustrated there in that chart which you have been given. He is the head of the church. He's the head of the new house of Israel. And are we not told in Ephesians, the second chapter? And notice what it says there, Ephesians 2. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by Christ, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from what? The commonwealth of Israel. 13th verse. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The sanctuary of this new Israel is the heavenly sanctuary, and we can understand its objectives and the work of Christ as we understand the types and the shadow of the type covenant and the type sanctuary of the Old Testament. All right, this stops and concludes the first section.